Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. One pious person says, I made dua to Allah Ta'ala to show me the condition of the dwellers of the grave. One night I saw as if Qiyamah was heralded in and people were coming out of their graves. I saw some of them mounted on sundus, which is a special superior type of silk, some on ordinary silk, some on high thrones, while others were on flowers. Some were laughing while others were crying. I said, O Allah, if all of them were in one condition, how good would it have been? A person from among the deceased said, this is because of the difference in amal, in their deeds. Those mounted on sundus possess good qualities. The people on ordinary silk are the martyrs. Those on flowers are those who fasted regularly. Those laughing are the repenters. Those crying are the sinful, and those seated on high thrones are those who loved one another for the pleasure of Allah. Once there was a coffin thief. He used to dig up graves to steal coffins. Once he dug up a grave and saw a person sitting on a high throne, reciting the Quran which was placed before him. A river was flowing beneath his throne. The coffin thief became so amazed that he fell down unconscious. People removed him from the grave. He regained consciousness only after 3 days. People questioned him about what had happened. In reply, he related the whole incident. Some people desired to look into that grave. They asked him to direct them towards that grave, which he even intended to do. But at night, he saw the pious inmate of that grave in his dream, telling him, if you show them my grave, you will become involved in such difficulties which you will never forget. After this, the coffin thief made a promise not to show anyone that particular grave. Yet, alhamdulillah, we see people that led a righteous life. What an enjoyable period they enjoyed in that alam and barzakh, the realm between this world and the next. And this realization of maut, of death, realization that our eternal abode is in the akhirat, this is only the temporary world. The best way to attain this quality is to sit in the company of the righteous, of the pious, those who are totally focused towards the akhirat, those who have gained the recognition and the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By sitting in their company, we will realize the temporary nature of this world and that our ultimate final destination is the akhirat. So important to go in the company of these type of people and to benefit from them. The Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in were examples for us. They used to sit as much as possible in the khidmat, in the majlis, in the company of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they used to sit so respectfully. It comes in the hadith that when the Sahaba would sit in front of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would sit like in a tashawud position, both their knees on the ground. And they would sit so motionless that if birds were to be perched upon their heads, the birds would not even fly away, because they would not even make a little movement that would scare the birds and cause them to fly away. And the Sahaba used to say that when he used to sit in the company of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he used to explain us about the affairs of the akhirat, it would appear as if Jannat and Jahannam is before our very eyes. Such a vivid description of the akhirat he would give us, we would be drawn totally towards the akhirat. And this was then the practice throughout the generations. People looked for pious people of their time and they would sit in the company and benefit in a similar way. When Hazrat Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh, who was a very great Shaykhul Hadith of Darul Ulum Deoband, known as a walking library, he had a photographic memory. He would read a book once only, and word by word, verbatim, he could repeat that entire book. It used to be memorized by him like a photograph embedded in his mind. Even if he read a book 25 years ago, he could repeat every word of the book word for word. This was the quality he had as far as his superior memory is concerned. When he went to Lahore, in those days, there were many students of his also in Lahore. He went from Deoband to Lahore and stayed there for a few days. Allama Iqbal, Dr. Iqbal, the famous Pakistani poet, In those days he was inclined towards the Qadiani movement. In fact, he was their general secretary. He came and began to sit in the majlis in the company of Hazrat Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi. And immediately his mind moved towards the ahadith where the description of the Sahaba is given. He saw exactly that situation in the company of Shah Sahib, that people were sitting around him totally motionless, as if there were birds perched on their heads. A slight movement would cause the birds to fly away. Initially he used to just observe, then eventually, because he was an intellectual person, he saw that Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi was being posed philosophical questions, and then he himself got the courage to speak, and he mentioned certain theories about Newton, the famous so-called intellectual of the Western world. So Shah Sahib said to him that Newton has written a certain theory in a certain book, but that is not his own work. He has resorted to plagiarism. He has stole this work and copied it from the work of Allama Iraqi Rahmatullahi, a famous Muslim scholar, without attributing it to Allama Iraqi Rahmatullahi. And Shah Sahib said to him that I can send that book to you. And later he sent it to him from Deoband as well. So Dr. Iqbal became slowly so impressed that eventually he was totally taken away by the knowledge of Shah Sahib. He went to the Qadianis, he resigned from his post as secretary, he made tawbah from Qadianism and became a true follower of Deen. Thereafter the poetry, he used to say, used to resemble the poetry of Allama Rumi Rahmatullahi, Maulana Rumi Rahmatullahi's poetry. On a similar style he used to say poetry. In one place he encourages us to sit in the company of the pious. The gist of his poem is that if you want to find true success, then go in the company of the righteous, of those who outwardly have no wealth of the world, but they possess sublime qualities in their heart, sit in their service and serve them. The treasure you will derive there, you cannot get that treasure in the treasure vaults of even the biggest kings of the world. What you will get there, you will not get in the courts of kings. So in this way he also encouraged people to sit in the company of the pious. We find as the Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be served by the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, and they used to benefit tremendously. On one journey a Sahabi was serving Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the early hours of the morning for tahajjud salah, the Sahabi brought some water in a container for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make wudu, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very happy at the service that he rendered. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that, ask, what need do you have? Imagine Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking someone that, ask for your needs. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being mustajabud da'awat, his du'as are accepted readily in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these sahaba were not people of the world, not people of the dunya. He could have asked for all the wealth of the world, for a palatial home, for a beautiful fruit orchard. But when he put his request before Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, my request is murafaqatuka fil jannah, that I wish to be in your company in Jannat. Just as Allah Ta'ala has bestowed me with your company in this world, I wish to attain that company in Jannat as well. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fine, but for that you will have to assist me to attain this goal. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the prescription that fa'inni ala nafsika bi kathrati sujood, that you will have to assist me in attaining this goal by making a lot of sajdas, in other words, in the wee hours of the night, performing tahajjud salah, this being the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you emulate me in this sunnah, then inshallah you will acquire my company in Jannat. In other words, following the sunnah of Rasulullah Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the way to attain the company of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one hadith, man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani, wa man ahabbani kana ma'i fil jannah, that he who loves my sunnah has shown love for me, and he who shows love for me will enjoy my company in Jannat. Hazrat Mullah Rashid Ahmad Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullahi, amongst our pious predecessors, amongst our elders, in his service was Maulana Habibur Rahman Sahib Uthmani Rahmatullahi, the brother of Maulana Shabbir Ahmad Uthmani Rahmatullahi. At that time he was the vice principal of Darul Ulum Deoband. He used to go to Gangoh and serve Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi. When Hazrat used to wake up for Tahajjud Salah, he had the habit of having a little cup of tea. So Mullah Habib Rahman Sahib used to prepare the tea. One night when he prepared the tea and he served it to Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah had a great liking for tea and he was an expert in recognizing the quality of the tea. So that night when he presented the tea, Hazrat Gangohi said to him, to Mullah Habib Rahman Sahib, ki isme kacche pani ki bu mehsus hoti hai. That I can smell, I can get the smell of raw water from this tea. He liked very hot tea, but he said that I can get the smell and the taste of raw water. So Mullah Habib Rahman Sahib was surprised that I boiled the tea in the kettle and then poured it into the cup. How could there be droplets of ordinary raw water? Then he realized that when he had washed the cup, perhaps he had not dried the cup thoroughly. There were few drops of water left, which mixed with the tea, and this gave Hazrat Gangohi the impression that there is still some raw water in this tea. So the next night when he prepared the tea, after washing the cup thoroughly, drying it, he even put the cup in front of the open flame, so that if there are some drops of water left, they can burn out of the flame. And then he made the tea and poured it. This time Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi liked the tea and he praised him for the tea. And after praising him, he said to him, that Habibur Rahman, everyone comes to me and puts forward their needs to me, ask me to make dua. You don't ever put a need. So he said to Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Hazrat, the way that Allah Ta'ala granted me the opportunity to serve you here in this world, my only request is Allah Ta'ala must grant me the opportunity to serve you in the next world as well, in Jannat. This was the love that his people had for the pious servants of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And people that stayed in the company of these pious people, they noticed karamat, miracles that were mind-boggling, that today's science cannot even begin to understand. Hazrat Maulana Mazhar Sahib Nanuti Rahmatullah Alayh explained his incident after Asr. I will not explain that incident again. But he was a pious ustaz in Mazar-e-Ulum, Saharanpur. He had a person by the name of Hafiz Fazal Bakhsh Rahmatullah Alayh, who was not an alim, but he used to go sit in the classroom when Hazrat Maulana Mazhar Sahib used to teach hadith. In those days there were no air conditioners, there were no electrical fans in the hot summer months. In order to make it easy for the ustaz, someone would stand behind the ustaz, and those huge manual fans, they would wave it to and fro to create a little breeze. So this was what Hafiz Fazal Bakhsh used to do. And he had a takya kalam meaning a pet phrase. His name was also Fazal, and his pet phrase was, Allah ke Fazal se yu hua yu hua. Whatever occurred, he would say Allah ke Fazal se. Even if a catastrophe occurred, he would say Allah ke Fazal se, with the grace of Allah. So one day he came running to Mullah Mazhar Sahib Nanuti Rahmatullahi, and he said to him, Hazrat, raat ko Allah ke fazal se ghazab ho gaya. That at night something terrible occurred at night with the grace of Allah. So the Mawlana said to him, sit down calmly and explain to me what happened. So he explained. He said, at night when I went to bed, after a few hours in the dark, I heard some noises. When I looked in the corner of my room, where I have my safe, and the safe was a little wooden box, and in that he had a few valuables. On it was a very cheap lock also. He heard the sound of someone trying to pick the lock of his safe. So he called out, who is there? So they replied, we are robbers, we are thieves, we have come to rob you. So then he said to them, he called out from his bed, that listen to my words. I am serving Maulana Mazhar Sahib Nanuti Rahmatullah Alayh. I am not an alim, but when I go and serve him in the classroom, I hear the hadith that he explains to the students. In one hadith, one explanation he gave, that when people pay their zakat and pay their charity, then their wealth goes into the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can tamper with that wealth. So he said to the thieves, because I have paid the zakat on this, it is in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the lock that is on my safe is worth a few pennies only. Easy to break. But because I have paid my zakat, I have full hope in the mercy and the protection of Allah Ta'ala, that you can continue trying till the morning. You can stand on your head, do cartwheels. You will not be able to pick that lock and break and crack that safe. So they tried for the whole night and they went away despondent. They could not break that safe. So this incident they explained to Mullah Mazhar Sahib Nanuti Rahmatullahi. Perhaps the thieves of those days were a bit well-behaved, disciplined. Today they will get you out of the bed that you open the safe. But nevertheless, In this way his wealth was protected because he paid his zakat, paid his charity for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same Maulana Madrasa Nanuti rahmatullahi, Allah protected his wealth. Once on the way to the Madrasa Mazahir Ulum Saharanpur, he had a gold coin in his pocket which fell out onto the pavement. When he got to the madrasa, he realized that it fell out somewhere. But he didn't bother. He said, inshallah, it's my property. Allah will return it to me. The place where it fell on the pavement, next to the pavement, there was a double-story home. The owner of the home, when he woke up and he went out onto the balcony, when the sun had risen, in the glare of the sun, he saw the glinting of this coin, the coin shining on the pavement. He noticed, he perceived that this is a gold coin. This is my lucky day, he thought. Let me go down and pick it up. When he went down the flight of stairs, he came onto the pavement, he searches for that coin, he can't see it anywhere. He goes back upstairs from the balcony, he can see the coin. Each time he comes out down, he cannot find the coin. And then, now it became busy, people walking to and fro, going to work. The pavement was very busy. And he's looking from upstairs, people walking past that coin, yet they cannot see that coin. So eventually he sat there, and he waited to see who would pick up that coin. When Hazrat Maulana was returning from the madrasa, he was searching for that coin, he saw it there, he picked it up and put it into his pocket. This man ran downstairs from the balcony from upstairs and went to Hazrat Maulana and said to him, what did you pick up? He said, I picked up my coin. So he said, does it belong to you? He says, yes, it belongs to me. So then he explained that from the early morning, I have made several attempts. I could not pick up that coin. People going past did not notice the coin, but you notice it. So Hazrat Maulana replied, when it did not belong to someone else, how could they pick it up? It belonged to me, Allah Ta'ala protected it for me. So in this way Allah Ta'ala looks after the possessions of His pious servants. Allah Ta'ala shows His miracles. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullahi, we heard his biography, he was blessed with the gift of Dast-e Ghaib, which means from the unseen Allah Ta'ala used to see to his needs. So much so that Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, he had no worldly possession. We heard in the biography, when he got a home in Gangoh as a share of inheritance, that house and the contents he gave as a gift to his wife. And then he stepped out to the door when he gave the gift, and he said to his wife, now the home belongs to you. If you give me permission to come to the home, I will come whenever you permit me. So he had no worldly possession. The clothes that Hazrat Mufti Sahib used to wear belonged to Maulana Ibrahim Sahib Pandor, down Barakatuhum, that he is to give it on loan to Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Hazrat Mufti Sahib didn't wish to possess anything of the world. He came into the world empty-handed, went from the world empty-handed. When Hazrat Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi passed away, his janazah was still there in Newtown. After they gave ghusl, it was going to be taken to Ellsberg for burial. That night a little girl saw a dream. She saw in a dream that Hazrat Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi is being lowered into his qabr. And as he was being lowered into the qabr, she saw in the dream Hazrat Mufti Sahib's entire body transformed into that of a little baby. In that condition he was put into the qabr. So someone gave interpretation of the dream, various interpretations. Someone said perhaps it denotes the fact that certain people are so close to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala pardons all their faults, all their sins, and they meet Allah Ta'ala كَيَوْمٍ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. That just as they were born into this world, completely free of sin and blemish, that is how, like a baby, Hazrat Mufti Sahib was going to meet his Creator. Someone else gave the interpretation that we are encouraged, أُطْلُبُ الْعِلْمِ مِنَ الْمَهْدِ إِلَى الْلَحْدِ. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. So here Hazrat Mufti Sahib, like a baby, was going, so to say, from the cradle into the grave to show his life mission. His entire life was spent in the service of deen, in seeking knowledge, in disseminating deen knowledge to the entire world. So this was the interpretation. And someone also gave this interpretation that fits here. That just as a newborn baby comes into the world empty-handed with no possession, Hazrat Mufti Sahib went to the grave totally empty-handed with nothing on his name, nothing that he possessed. But yet Allah Ta'ala gave him the gift of this ghaib. We used to make safar with Hazrat Mufti Sahib rahmatullah in India. Hazrat Mufti Sahib used to visit various madaris. He had no bank balance. He used to put his hand into his pocket and take out huge wads of notes to donate to the madrasa as lillah, as khairat. Where that money used to come from? Allah Ta'ala's help. I witnessed this with my own eyes on one occasion when Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Pandur Sahib had to go away for some work to Gujarat for 2 weeks. And he left me in charge to make khidmat of Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Those 2 weeks I realized what a great person Maulana Ibrahim Sahib Pandur is. Those 2 weeks were extremely difficult, although enjoyable also. It is not easy to serve people of this caliber. They have an endless stream of visitors. You have to see to the comfort of the visitors, see to their accommodation, see to their meals, see to the comfort of Hazrat Mufti Sahib also. So, during those days, I remember even Mufti Abul Qasim Sahib Banarasi, who performed the Janaza Salah of Hazrat Mufti Sahib, he also arrived as a guest from Banaras. Today he is a principal and rector of Darul Ulum Deoband. So when he came also, I had to see to his sleeping arrangements. Then he was leaving to see him off at the railway station. And when I returned, Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was very happy. Allah Ta'ala took the services from me. Hazrat Mufti Sahib hugged me also. And he said, Tumhari khidmat se dil bahut khush hua, that I'm very happy the way you have served my guests. That day I realized that these buzrugs get more happy when you serve their guests. Even more happier that than when you serve them. More happier when you serve their guests. So during those days, one day on a Friday morning, Hazrat Mufti Sahib went for his normal sunnat, Jummah ghusl, and obviously he took out his old clothing that had to go into the washing, to the laundry, and the fresh clothing that had come, washed clothing from the laundry, it is obvious, clothing that had not come from the laundry with money in the pockets, comes empty. You have to transfer the papers from the old kurta into the clean kurta, or if there is money, you transfer that. When Hazrat came out to the bathroom, just then some delivery came of some groceries. And the delivery man showed me the invoice. I don't recall the exact amount, but it's about, let's say, 16 rupees and 75 pesas. So Hazrat Mufti Sahib, I said to Hazrat Mufti Sahib, this is a bill. Hazrat said, put your hand in my pocket. Which pocket? The kurta that had come from the laundry with nothing in the pockets. Hazrat said, put your hand in my right pocket of the kurta and pay him the money. I put my hand in there, exactly 16 rupees and 75 pesas, not a pesa less, not a pesa more, came out of that pocket and I paid that bill. So this convinced me that Hazrat Mufti Sahib had this karamat of this ghaib, help from the unseen, financial help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. Hazrat had a nephew, Javed his name was, when we stayed in Calcutta, he also came with us to Calcutta. He explained to me that one day, he went to Hazrat Mufti Sahib's room, and he was still a little boy, he was playing around with the bookshelf, and behind the kitabs he found thick wares of money. He went to Hazrat and he said, Hazrat, he used to call Hazrat, Abba, ye paise kahan se aa gaye, where this money came from? Hazrat told him, indirectly, mind your own business, just imagine you saw nothing there. So this was just the help from the unseen of this Buzugan Deen, of these pious saints that used to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala showed many other miracles on these people's hands. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, when he came to South Africa in 1980, I think, 1981, and he spent Ramzan in Stanger, after South Africa he had to go to Zambia, to Chipata, to the Madrasa of Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahib Mutala, who is now Rahmatullah Ali, just passed away recently. So, the plane was chartered, it had a few seats, and there was a very small airfield at Chipata. Also, not even a proper cemented airfield, just gravel that was scraped. Planes could land there on a narrow strip during the daytime. But something caused delay to the plane, and the plane arrived at Chipata, about to land in the dark hours of the night. There were no night landing facilities at Chipata. And now, the pilot also was very worried. He did not have enough fuel to return from where he took off. There was no other airport nearby where he could land. So, obviously, radioed down to the responsible people, and when they heard about this predicament, the hundreds of people that had come to receive Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali was on the plane, they were told downstairs that whoever has torches, take out the torches. And you know, some of these torches are so powerful, they write on there 1 million candle power, 2 million candle power. So the hundreds of people pointed their torches to the plane, and the pilot took a chance, he safely landed the plane. This was the miracle of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali being present on the plane. Even the pilot was astounded, that normally this is not possible. With the aid of torches, he was able to land a small plane on that narrow airstrip. If this wasn't a miracle, then what is a miracle? On one occasion, Hazrat Maulana Siddiq Ahmad Sahib Bandwi, Rahmatullah Ali, was traveling on a plane somewhere, And he was sitting next to the window seat where you could see the wing of the aircraft, which contains the engines of the aircraft on the wing. So while the plane was flying, all of a sudden, one of the engines caught a light. The crew noticed this, and they were horrified, walking to and fro, obviously very worried, in a panic situation. But they noticed Maha Siddiq Ahmad Sahib Bahadur Rahmatullah, such noor radiance on his face. He's sitting, he's watching that engine caught a light, and his lips are moving all the time. He's reading something. So people were devastated on the plane. They thought this plane will definitely blow up, it will crash. But as Hazrat Maulana was reading, miraculously that flame went out on its own. And the plane could proceed safely. This was a miracle of this wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ourselves also had some harrowing experiences as far as flying on planes is concerned. When we were in Calcutta, we had to leave Calcutta. The Mufti Sahib stayed there for about 3 or 4 months. I also stayed with the Mufti Sahib. We were leaving from there by plane. We had to land at Kanpur from Calcutta. Because of some delay, the plane was delayed and it approached Kanpur in the late hours of the night. Sun had set already, and there too there were no night landing facilities. The pilot thought there was not enough fuel to divert to another airport, but helpless he had to divert the plane. Eventually we landed at Lucknow airport, where there were night landing facilities. With the little fuel that he had, with the barakat of the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, even he was surprised that he could take the plane, divert it to Lucknow airport and land at Lucknow. On one occasion some years ago, when I traveled to Cape Town with Mufti Bashir Sahib Sanjalwi Rahmatullah Alayh, we had a meeting, few meetings with the MJC there. The Jamiat had some meetings. So on our return from Cape Town, it was, I think, the winter months. We were approaching Johannesburg International Airport. Now it is known as OR Tambo. First it was Jan Smuts Airport, then it became Johannesburg International. At that time it was known as Johannesburg International Airport. When we were approaching Johannesburg International Airport, there was a blanket of thick fog over the airport. And the pilot also announced that it seemed very difficult to land the plane in the thick fog. And he made several approaches to try to land the plane. But as he made this descent, each time there was extreme turbulence. And the turbulence caused the glasses in the kitchen section also to fall and to break. In fact, I never experienced such turbulence in all the times that I have flown. So there was such turbulence, even the crew was in a panic situation. They were sitting on their seats. And the pilot announced that, please be calm, we are trying our best to land the plane. After a little while, there was total silence. Pilot not announcing anything whatsoever. And the plane began the descent, glasses were breaking there at the back. Eventually, with a bumpy landing, he landed the plane. Only after he landed the plane, he announced. While the plane was in this situation, people were looking petrified. I noticed Mufti Bashir Sahib Sanjalwi was also busy reading something, perhaps through his barkat. The plane landed. Then the pilot announced that, ladies and gentlemen, we have executed a perfectly automated pilot landing. In other words, he gave control over to computer, automatic pilot. If it announced while before landing, people would have panicked that he is handing over the control to a machine, is out of human control. Only after he landed, he made the announcement that we have executed a perfectly automated pilot landing. So he gave it over to automatic pilot. Another experience we also had, when we were in Lusaka, last year also with Mufti Ahmad Sahib Khanpuri, we had to fly from Lusaka to Livingston in Zambia, to the very small plane, maybe 6-seater, 8-seater. The first time I flew on such a small plane reminded us of these Zola Bar taxis, you know, that are not even roadworthy, very cranky, very shaky. But nevertheless, we boarded this plane, and the roof was so low. To get to our seats, we had to bend, make ruku to get to the seats. We sat on the seats, the plane took off, very shaky, rattling, but shukr, we reached our destination. But the amusing part of this small plane, there was no barrier between the cockpit and the passengers. I was sitting immediately behind the pilot, and you know, like in our motor cars, when the driver, you have a compartment in the door, sometimes the driver has a packet of crisps there and a box of juice. This pilot has a packet of crisps there and a box of juice. As he's piloting the plane, he's munching away the crisps and having the cold drink or the juice in this manner. And such a small plane there in the clouds, it appeared absolutely stationary, as if it's not moving also. But alhamdulillah, we reached our destination. Just last year in December, when we had to go to Camperdown for the Jalsa, He also had an experience when he came from Durban on the plane. Then we took off from here, from Lanseria Airport, and went to Durban. We parked the car overnight because we just had to stay one night. The next day when the plane came, it tried to land at Lanseria Airport. There was heavy, heavy rain. The pilot announced that I made several attempts and approaches, but it is not possible to land the plane at present at Lanseria, so we will have to divert to Oar Tambo International Airport. So he diverted the plane to Oar Tambo International Airport. He even announced that we have the safety of the passengers uppermost, so unfortunately we have to divert to Oar Tambo. So passengers were all thinking, obviously had people that would come and pick them up at Lanseria Airport. We had our car parked here also. Now if you go to Oar Tambo, how to come to Lanseria? Will we be bused there? Will we have to phone someone? So he landed there, he stayed on the runway, on the strip, for about almost an hour. After an hour, we were not allowed to disembark from the plane. The pilot announced, we got information from Lanseria that now we can land there. So this was the shortest flight of my life. From Oar Tambo to Lanseria, it took about 6 minutes. It took off and we landed there safely, and our car was there, vehicle was there. We came home, alhamdulillah. Just before Ramzan, we flew to Durban when Mufti Ahmad Sahib Khan Puri Dawan Barakatuh was there. And we flew on Kulula.com. Kulula.com, we had a steward that was very, very witty. He kept us busy and kept us occupied. Maybe I was even thinking to myself, he should become a stand-up comedian perhaps. So he was announcing all the time. When we took off, he said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Kulula.com flight so and so. And then he announced, he says, we have the reputation of having the best crew in the industry, but unfortunately today that crew is not on board. So you may see some unfriendly faces. When they explained to us about the emergency exits on both sides of the plane, emergency exits, then he made a comment. He says, ladies and gentlemen, if you perhaps notice your ex-fiancé or ex-wife on board, you know where the emergency exits are. And then he also announced, he says, if in the unlikely event if we have to land on water, then those that know how to swim will put down chutes. They can go down from the left emergency exit. And those who do not know how to swim, it was nice having you on board. So a pleasure having you on board. When we took off, normally they announce that you must put out your cell phones and that. So he mentions, ladies and gentlemen, put off your Blackberries, your Galaxy 4s, your Galaxy 3s, and put off your iMac, your iPod, your iPad, and iConnor. When we were landing, he also, so to say, below the belt, he gave it to the competition. We were landing, he says, ladies and gentlemen, remember, forget about all the mangoes, today the whole world is going green. Because Kulula.com is painted green. And then he said, please fly with us all the time and not only one time. He's a very witty person. So nevertheless, this is our journey, travel in this world. We have to go to that ultimate journey to the Akhirat. Hazrat Maulana Abrahim al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when we were studying in Hardoi, he saw this impressed on the minds of the children, and we had to learn this parrot fashion. He would ask us, sometimes in front of guests also, Ye batao tumara watana asli kya hai? Where is the original abode? We had to reply, the original abode is in Jannat. And then he would say, how will you get to the original abode? Which station do you have to go to? The station of the Qabristan. And then he would say, what is your passport? To reach that other world, the eternal world, the passport is your iman. And your visa, safar, sahal kaise hoga? How will the journey become easy? What is your visa? Visa is amal-e-saliha. So this is something for us to remember. We all have to make the ultimate journey to the Akhirat. Yesterday I mentioned about Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, where the conductor allowed him that you can come with your luggage even though you are overweight. You don't have to pay for it. So Hazrat Thani said to him that, where is your shift? He said, up to Ghaziabad. And thereafter he said, I've got another conductor friend, a Muslim. He will overlook your extra luggage up to Kanpur. So Hazrat asked, what about after Kanpur? So he said, after Kanpur, there's no other destination. So Hazrat said, what about the destination of the Akhirat? The journey to the Akhirat. We have to worry about that. And Hazrat Thani then paid for the extra luggage. So we have to be very, very careful. We have to go to the Akhirat, answer to Allah Ta'ala, answer for our deeds. And this journey will be very, very crucial. We sit in the company of the pious, then inshallah, it will remain within, uppermost within our minds, that ultimate journey. Allah will make it possible for us to prepare for the journey. Allah inshallah prepare us totally for that journey. Keep us steadfast on iman. Take us with iman from this world. And let us make the journey with iman. Inshallah, raise us with iman. And grant us the intercession of Rasulullah Kareem Sa'azim. So that inshallah, we are among those fortunate people who will inshallah enter Jannat without any reckoning inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.